We will start today by reading from the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. Actually, we have two of them to read, just to continue what I began to talk about last time. Last time I specifically began to talk about the schemes of the devil, the devices of the devil. Why are we studying this? Why are we talking about the schemes of the devil? I don't think that the devil should be a very serious topic amongst Christians. Actually, he shouldn't be. I told you a story, I don't know whether it was last Saturday or one of those days we were recording for radio. And the story I described, two people, one man who said the devil appeared to him in a vision, well, physically actually. And the moment he saw him, that he was in another country to preach, and the devil said, "Good, I've caught you here." And then he knelt down and he began to pray. And he prayed and prayed and prayed. After 1 hour of praying, he saw the devil just either sitting or standing there looking at him. Like, "Have you finished? Are you getting what I'm saying?" All right. Then after a while, the Holy Spirit began to minister to him. "Speak the word. Speak the word." He now began to speak the word. And then the devil said, "Okay, I will leave you for a moment. I'm coming back." That kind of thing. All right. True story. I don't want to mention the name of the man simply because I didn't agree with his operation at all. Are you getting my point? I was shocked when I read it that the devil appeared to you, went on your knees. What do you mean by that? Are you getting my point? I'm not going to discuss that in detail now, but this point I want to make, I want to contrast it with what happened with Smith Wigglesworth. I was told that he had a similar experience, and he was sleeping, and then he heard noise in his sitting room, and he came out. And then when he got there, he saw a figure, you know, like, again, the same manifestation of the devil. And he looked at it, hissed, turned back, and went back to sleep. That is, he said, "I thought it was something that needed my attention." Are you getting my point? That the devil can't get my attention. You came to make noise in my sitting room. I had another story. I don't know whether this really happened, all right? But it illustrates what is happening properly, all right? That he said a man had a similar experience and the whole house was scattered. And he came out and he found the devil came into his house to come and scatter the place. So instead of rebuking the devil, "Stop there. Rearrange it. When you finish rearranging, go away." Then he went his way. The devil realized he had to rearrange the man's house before leaving it. And a lot of us will kneel down and start praying. That's why I didn't agree with the first man. He said he prayed for 1 hour, and the devil did not shift. He did not shift at all. I think I made a statement, I think it was on radio, that listen, the devil does not respect fasting and prayer the way we think he does. He does not. It was when Jesus had fasted for 40 days that he showed up. After he had fasted for 40 days, that is when most of us feel like we are on top of our anointing. That is when we feel like, "Good, now the devil will be afraid." The devil says, he's at his weakest point. Fasting for 40 days is a dangerous assignment. If you have been fasting for 40 days, let me tell you truthfully, if you impose it upon yourself, listen, it's an unnecessary exercise. It adds nothing to your spirituality. It does not make you stronger against the devil. Listen, it does not. Let me leave you there. Hoping that whoever hears this will go home and go and think. Hunger is not one of the ways of improving spirituality. Shall I say, eating too much is a way of improving spirituality? No, that's also bad. Balance is what? The key to life. Let me just leave it there. What I'm going to say is that the devil doesn't respect it. If you want to fast, better know the reason why you want to fast. And I keep on teaching Christians, fasting is for literally meditation. Do you get my point? You fast specifically because you want to take time out to wait upon the Lord, as in meditating upon his word and contemplating spiritual things. Hunger is not a critical part of that assignment. Food is only what? A distraction. Therefore, you can't be fasting and be staring at home videos. You see what I'm saying? You cannot tell me you are fasting, you are hungry, and you are watching Man U quarrel over a round object made of plastic or rubber with Arsenal. That you're deceiving me. You think you're sitting there, you're watching football like this. It's about, take a bottle of Fanta, and I say, "No, no, I'm fasting." You're not fasting. You're watching football. You're not fasting. You're watching football. If I want to hear, if you want me to believe you are fasting, as soon as you come in, say, "Oh, come and watch this match." Say, "Guys, I didn't come." then you pass us and go into the room. If I see you staring at the screen, you're watching a message. If I see you reading, you're not reading Robert Ludlum. You cannot be reading Jeffrey Archer when you're fasting. I expect Kenneth E. Hagin, E.W. Kenyon, David Oyedepo, are you getting what I'm saying? Miles Monroe, and most importantly, the Holy Bible. That's what I expect. If I see you cross your leg digesting News Watch, you are not fasting. You are reading newspaper. My emphasis is for Christians, we take time out to wait. He said they ministered to the Lord and fasted. That is, they were gathered in the meeting. They were sharing the word. Are you getting my point? Somebody was prophesying. Somebody was teaching. Somebody was leading in intercession. Then he said, it's time for food. He said, are we going to leave this one to go and eat? Are you getting my point? That's how it is. Now, please, let me not go into that. What I'm trying to emphasize to Christians is that the devil does not respect your hunger. He doesn't. I have personally observed. Now, I have personally conducted an autopsy on a pastor who died after fasting. Not a joke. He finished his long round of fasting, then he ate, then his stomach perforated, and then he died. I'm teaching in this series the power we have over the devil. Like I said, it's not supposed actually to be the central point of our discussions in Christianity, except that we have made it so. That's why I'm doing this series. I want to help Christians to understand where he belongs and what really he does. There's a lot of Christianese. Listen, I've considered it these days. The number of born-again Christians in Nigeria has not increased much in the last 20 years. What you have is a great number of people who now go to church, where Christianity, all right, or churchianity is now the vogue. You are getting what I'm saying? Yesterday I was in my office, you know, but yesterday or 2 days ago. Yeah, I think it was yesterday. There's a department in my office. I will tell you their name. There's a reason I'm telling their name. So there was no power, and they were trying to start their own standby generator. So I had noticed the way the generator was working the week before. Are you getting my point? And for some time, they use their own a lot. I've been telling the second department that, how often do you service this thing? I know the way these things work. Are you getting my point? I know the way it works. I said, listen, I don't see you people servicing this. I should stumble into the service in one day. They talk here, talk here, talk, go there. Anyway, last week, I heard a thing sounding one kind. I said, I told you people this thing has an issue. So yesterday, as I was passing, somebody was trying to start it, and the thing was not responding. Now, I now turned to the woman and said, that your generator has a hemoglobinopathy. Now, because of their department, that's why I was making a joke. The hematology department. So I just mentioned one of the hematology diseases. I said, that your generator. So this is where I'm going now. There was one young woman that was there. He said, hey, we reject it. Back to sender. I said, you see, that's why I told you the story. I normally ignore people who talk like that. I did as if I didn't hear it. I kept on talking to the person I was talking to. This is where I'm going to. A lot of people resist the devil after they have opened the door for him, made a bed for him. The devil is lying down there. All his evil spirits are oozing into the home. And they are saying, we reject it. We reject it. We what's the other one? Back to sender. Holy Ghost fire on the devil. And they pray all night. The issue is that they sent the devil a text message. I'm available. Are you free? And the devil said, why not? And the devil came to their door. The door was wide open. He saw the room they made for him. He came with seven spirits like himself. And they settled around the home. And they are disturbing the home. Then they are rebuking the devil standing at the door outside. So all the prayers they are praying is directed to a place where the devil is not. He has entered into the house. They made the door open for him. And they are out there resisting him. What am I going to explain to us? The devil is not what we think he is. The devil is not a spirit that has the ability to fight you the way you think he does. The way people think of the devil, they think he has so much power, are you getting my point, that when he shows up, they have to start fighting him.
So people spend all night praying. All my enemies, all the witches, their prayers, God has never heard me pray. Not you. You're not the one I'm praying most times. The Lord has never heard me pray some prayers. All the witches that don't like me, they will keep on increasing in number. That's the fact. Do you know why? The more you prosper, the more you are blessed, the more you do work for God, the more the amount of evil spirits that are concerned about your case. You can't pray that one out of existence. That is the way life is. You know, when the seven sons of Sceva wanted to cast out the evil spirit out of that demon-possessed fellow, you know what that demon said? He said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Now, the word Paul, Paul, I know. I heard Derek Prince comment on the Greek there. He said, Jesus, we are personally acquainted with. Are you getting my point? We know him properly. He said, Paul, yes, we have heard of that name. One fellow who's out there disturbing our activities. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the more you do, the more the number of evil spirits that don't like you. They become aware. One day you will land in China. One man will say, what are you doing here? Just know what happened. It is not you. Last time they were discussing in the realm of the spirit, they said there's one guy back in Nigeria. He's cutting all the work we are trying to do in Africa. And they've come to ask for advice from the Chinese demons. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? So listen, you don't wake up all night trying to quell that volume of hatred. They can't do anything to you. When the ways of a man pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to compulsorily be at peace with him. It doesn't mean they like him. They maintain the peace. It's in their own interest. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Because you must understand how the Lord behaves. Hey, you must understand how the Lord behaves. If you are important to him, please, what I want to say doesn't sound nice. He will kill 1 million people to keep you alive. Somebody said something once. That, you know, many times they try to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, before his time. And the Bible says he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. He said that, do you know why he did that? He was not afraid. He was afraid for them. I don't know whether I get my point. If he stood there, the angels would have had to kill them. To keep them alive, he had to run away. He wasn't afraid for his life. Because he said it clearly. This is my life. Nobody can take it from me. I lay it down by myself. He said it has never been heard of that a prophet should perish outside Jerusalem. He kept on telling them, listen, I'm not dying now. Forget all of those things. That's what I was telling them. So they said, we are going to kill him. And he just said, come, let's stay here. Let them go. Let's pass through this side. Let's leave them. What he was saying simply is that if we stay, they will die. Are you getting my point? Please, don't be afraid of any village witch. I'm surprised I have to tell Christians this, but when you watch television and see all these kind of funny things that go on in the society, you have to keep telling people the truth. People say that your enemies are not sleeping. And why should you sleep? You know what I always say? Why should he sleep? He is a wicked soul. There is no rest for the wicked, says the Lord. Somebody sent us a mail that he doesn't understand that Pastor Bank said that men should sleep at night. That he thought that's when they're supposed to wake up and pray. And I read it, I said, poor guy. It's not his fault. Oh, God. You're supposed to sleep at night. So Jesus prayed all night. How many times? Maybe like twice. I'm going to read the whole Bible. Maybe like two times. What I'm trying to establish, I don't have a topic for it yet. We'll find one by the time we finish the series, is the supremacy of the position that the Christian is relative to the devil. That's it. I want the believer to know that in Christ Jesus, he or she has been delivered. I want the believer to know that the devil doesn't have the kind of power he's talked about as if he has. And last time I began to talk about the kind of operations that the devil gets involved in. We talked about the schemes of the devil. Remember, we itemized a number of things. We began to talk about it last time. I said, number one, he does what? He deceives. He deceives. Listen, let me tell you something, so that you just get this clear. Just look at it. If he had the power, why would he deceive? Why didn't he bring out his gun? Eve, eat or I kill you. Are you getting my point? Eve, the Lord said you shouldn't eat of this fruit, right? Okay. Now I'm commanding you to eat it. Ooh, I cast a spell. Spell. Eve began to eat. You know, that one is home movies. You know, I've been telling you. In real life, the devil can't cast a spell upon anybody that has not invited the spell. Do you get my point? That's why he gets engaged in discussions. Madam, please, I hope I'm not disturbing. Has God really said that? Are you getting my point? Then he now began to talk that, no, God didn't say so. You know what really happened? You know, then the Eve now believed, and the Bible said she was deceived. That was his aim. And for your information, that was not even good enough. That didn't get him far. He wasn't satisfied with the fact that that Eve was deceived. Because when somebody is deceived, there's a lot of mercy for the person. What he wanted was for Adam to deliberately do it. And the woman began to nag the husband. And you mean you won't eat? Eh? When last do you even do something that I'm saying? You know, you don't love me. And you don't love me. You don't love me. Eve said, okay, I love you. Give me. I am. Are you happy now? The devil said, yes, I am. He said, who's talking there? Ah, it's me. That is, he was not deceived. He knew what he was doing was wrong. Oh, God, I don't want to digress from my message. You will have seen how emotions, all right? Emotions are, oh, God, they make people do what is wrong, and God doesn't care that it's their emotions. He judges them for it. I don't have time to explain it. Be careful of zeal. You must be careful, all right, about emotions. I'm not going into that direction. What I'm trying to emphasize is what the devil does. He deceives. Are you getting my point? And last time we also explained the fact that he tempts, all right? I explained that one in details. He tempts. Why he does all of these is because that is the only power he has. God is judge. God is in control. There is something that we in the world of faith taught for a long time. They said that the world is in turmoil because the devil is in charge. That Adam sold the rulership over the earth to the devil. I used to believe it. I don't believe it anymore. Why, Pastor Banky, you say? Because it is not true. What are you saying? The Bible says clearly, you know, in Daniel said, the heavens rule in the affairs of men. Are you getting my point? God rules in the affairs of men. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given. Are you getting my point? To the sons of men. What am I talking about? Are you saying the devil doesn't rule? This is what I'm telling you. He first, every time, he still has to tempt every generation. Nigeria is not upside down and the world is not upside down because of the devil. No, absolutely not. The world is upside down because of the sin of the people that dwell therein. What the devil does is to go around tempting them. He cannot force anything to happen on the earth. He has to beg people to agree with him. Listen. He said, but Adam sinned. Yes, it doesn't mean you have to sin. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Listen. He said, Adam, look, you must understand something. It's not Adam that brought the devil to the earth. I hope you understand that. Because the devil, when he found Adam was in the garden, he said, hey, he's here. He went in there. Nobody stopped him. God did not stop him. God allowed, I don't know why he does, but God has allowed him and continues to allow him to go around. Where have you come from? Going about tempting people. He still tempts people. Do you follow the point I'm making? He still tempts people. He still tempts people. And when people fall for his temptation, that's when there is a problem. The way I'm trying to emphasize this, so that we know how to handle him. Are you getting my point? So that we know how to handle him. So that we won't think that there's nothing we can do. What the devil does is still to tempt people. That's the power he has. There's a scripture. I said we should open to some scriptures, right? Yeah, first, let's quickly read Which one did I say first? Yes, 2 Peter chapter 2. That's the one we'll continue with today. I know where we stopped. I began to talk about the fact that he steals. And that's actually the main thing I want to talk about today. But let's just keep talking, all right? We'll keep learning. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to read something there. Let me just start from verse 12. I know where I'm going. It's verse 15, but I like to read in context. But because of time, I can't take too much of it. So let's start from verse 12. It said, but these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge. It said, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of their wrongdoing. They count it as a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions, as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children, forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Please notice that. But he received a rebuke for his own transgression. For a dumb donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. Now, please note this, though this is not the main one I want to read, but just note it. Let's quickly go to the next one I want to read, Revelation chapter 2. Okay, that's the main one I want to read, Revelation chapter 2. I want to just bring out an issue here about Balaam. Now, God was speaking, of course, talking to different churches from verse 12, and he said to the angel of the church in Pergamum, right. The one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam. Yeah, that's where I'm going. Balaam has a teaching. Who kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. That's actually where I'm going. He said, thus you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Let me just stop there, please. That the main thing I want there is that issue of Balaam. Now, because of time, we won't bother reading the story of Balaam when Balak invited Balaam to come and, you know, curse the children of Israel. Because of time, we won't read it, but it's in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. We all know the story, so I will not go over it. We won't read it. I'll just summarize it for us. Israel was approaching. Balak was afraid. And listen, in case you are wondering who Balaam was, just to educate you, Balaam was not an Israelite prophet. He was, if it was a Yoruba kingdom, the man would have been what they call an Ifa priest. I don't know what I heard I said. In this environment, would have called him a Dibia. Don't think he was a prophet the way you know prophets today. Are you getting my point? Now, but he knew spiritual things. And he knew the voice of God. That he was not a righteous man. You can easily find that one out from where we read first in 2 Peter. The man loved certain things. You are getting what I'm going to explain? Now, let's not go into this about it. But what I want to emphasize to you, when I'm talking about Dibia, Ifa priest, Balaam, and prophets, is that he obviously had power. He was not a joker. His power was renowned amongst the people. Everybody knew that, look, listen, that man offends you, go and tell Balaam. The man used to read, a whole king hired Balaam to come and change the tide of an impending battle. You think the guy is a joker? That's what I want you to understand. But there was something Balaam kept on telling Balak. Whoever God has not cursed, I can't curse the person. Imagine that Balaam was a Dibia in an Igbo village of those days. He didn't have the kind of power people thought he had. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. But he had a lot of understanding. So he explained to Balak. this thing I am doing, I hear the voice of God, I know. And my experience is that if God has not cursed a man, there's nothing I can do to him. He warned in my head. Of course, you know the rest of the story. They came, doubled the wages, balance said, well, if you can pay this much, the Lord should be impressed. Your seed is great in the sight of God. Amen. Let me go now and go and check whether your seed has risen up to heaven. 1,000 burnt offerings. He entered. Listen, you know, I have to force myself not to be distracted. So many things to explain along the line. But the Lord told him you can go. Just by the way, the Lord told him he could go because he wanted to go. That's all. But the Lord still reminded him, you know, for in your own interest, don't open your mouth and utter that which I have not uttered. Are you getting my point? It wouldn't have worked, though. You know, I've told you, it's in his own interest. This is the point. He got there and began to do the things that they knew he could do. He started offering sacrifices. Bring me the sacrifices. Let's go to this place. They will sacrifice, and then he'll begin to prophesy. And in prophesying, he will be blessing the people. And Balak said, what are you doing? He said, I warned you now. There is nothing I can do except God curses these people first. There's nothing I can do. He said, then listen to this, listen to this. He said, let's go to another mountain. Then they will change the location they are in and begin to look at Israel from another angle. That's how the devil accuses before God. He looks for weak spots around you. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? By the time he had gone round and round, he found there was nothing he could do against them. Now, if you read it just in Numbers, you won't hear this whole story. You have to come to Revelations to see the story. That's why I read this one. He left. Then shortly after that, there was trouble in the camp. The girls in Moab came to the camp. The Israelites began to follow them. And then God himself came into the camp and destroyed 23,000 people. This is where I'm getting to. Listen to this. Those girls did not arrive by accident. They were sent by Balak on the instructions of Balaam. That's where I'm going. That's why we read it in the Revelations. What happened was that after they had gone around, they saw that there was nothing they could do. He said, guys, what do we do? Balaam was about to leave. He said, Balak, you have paid well. Your money was good. We should give you some service for the money that you paid. Come, let me talk to you. This is how it works. Listen to me, saints of God. Listen to me, saints of God. Balaam said to Balak, this is how it works. These people are the people of God. Once their God is on their side, there's nothing you can do. The only thing you can do is to turn their God against them. Their God is kind, but it's also a just God. Therefore, you have to bring iniquity into the camp. Because righteousness entails that he judges iniquity. No matter how merciful he is, righteousness entails that iniquity must be judged. So what do we do? It's simple. Remember, I said it's the place of their weakness. Go and read the scriptures. Solomon said, I gathered for myself the pleasures of all men. Many concubines. So he said, this is the easiest one, and it's one of the most potent ones. That one works fast. It's very easy. It's very potent. What do you do? You send the girls. You don't have fine girls in this place. Balak said, I have now. Send them. And those ones will go there. Please, we are selling something you want to buy. They go bend. The cloth go to this level. The guy will say, which one did they sell? And the Lord was watching them. That was why God killed Balaam. God had Balaam killed. Jim Baker had the problem then, remember? The guy who led him into that problem, God killed him too, of meningitis. And he was a pastor. Hey, be careful, though. Let me go on with my message. They explained to Balak, this is the only way you can do this. Lead these girls into the place. Bring iniquity into their midst. You know what I'm trying to explain? That is the only thing the devil could do against Israel. He said, enchantments, they don't work. Divination against Israel, it has no potency. So what do we do? The only thing we can do is to ask Israel to walk out of the shadow of the Almighty by itself. And listen to me, that is the only card he still has to play till today in the life of Christians. So you see all the men who drive to a prophet and leave their girlfriend in the car, say, please, I'm coming, I have a business. And they walk in and say, Pastor, good afternoon, sir. And the pastor says, kneel down. In the name of Jesus, all your enemies. You see, the pastor is blind. The man is a devil himself. Because his enemy is in the car, waiting. Adultery is his enemy. He does not have any enemy more than his own iniquities. I've seen a lot of blind pastors. And listen, until you love the wages of iniquity as Balaam, you can never enter into the madness of the prophet. Listen, you have something must be pushing you. That is why as a preacher, I have words for preachers once in a while when I'm preaching. Listen, Kenneth Hagin said the Lord appeared to him in a vision. After they had spoken for, I think, over an hour, the Lord got up to go. He got halfway, then he turned back as if I forgot something. Or let me not forget something. He said, there are two things I want to warn you about as you progress in this, your ministry. He said, number one, remember that for everything that happens, remember to give all the glory back to me. He said that once and once alone. But the second thing he said twice, he said, be careful about money. Then he repeated it, be careful about money. If you're a preacher, hear me, be careful about money. He said he repeated that one. And go and read the scriptures. When Jesus will want to say things that are serious, he'll say, verily, verily. He'll say twice, I say unto you. Joseph said to Pharaoh that the Lord repeated that dream is to let you know there's a serious matter. He said, the Lord said to him, be careful about money. That is the beginning of the ruining of your ministry, if you're not careful about it. It opens the door. Before you know what's happening, you get into the teachings of Balaam. I had a man preaching once because he wanted to raise money. He said, some people say it is blood money. Don't worry, bring it. We cleanse it with a bigger blood. I bowed my head like this. I said, this is Balaam in the new century. What happened to Balaam? He loved something. Are you getting my point? He loved the money that came from this thing. And that was why he said, Balak, you have paid well. For this money you paid, let me tell you, I told you, there's spirituality and there's spiritualism. Spiritualism is a course. I mean, it's a course that you can go to school and learn it. Yes, Balaam was very good at it. He knew the method. Even Daniel, go and read Daniel. Daniel gave Nebuchadnezzar a bit of spiritualism. He said, you know, God wants to destroy you. Nebuchadnezzar said, yes. Let me show you how to delay the destruction. You know what you do? All these bad things you are doing, quickly stop. Then start doing good works. When you wake up in the morning, are you getting my point? He said, it's part of the tenets of Islam, zakat. Yes, it's spiritualism. You go and start sharing out money. Quick. It works a bit. It's weak, but it works a little. In the same manner, the negative side, Balaam understood it and quickly said to Balak, see, listen, let me tell you, in the chemistry of the spiritual realms, if you can do this, the people will fall for this. Once they fall for it, listen, then call me back, I will come. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, that's what the Bible calls the teaching of Balaam. What I'm trying to emphasize is that the devil, just like Balak, does not have any power until Israel by itself walks out of the covering of the Almighty. That's why he tempts. That's why you must resist sin. That is the only power the devil has. I keep on saying this, and so it's printed into the minds of those who hear me. Who is a false prophet? A false prophet is one who blames your enemies, including the president and the economy. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, and says that is the cause of your problems, and does not make any demands of your own personal character. I remember a relative of mine once, he told me, have you heard? I said, what? They said, this person is a witch. And that is it's part of the problems we have been having. Who said so? Mention one pastor who I knew. This kind of big evangelist that the posters are everywhere. I said, I nodded in my mind. I said, I nodded outside. He said, so please do anything I tell you, don't tell him. I shall keep your secret secret. I shall keep your foolishness secret. I shall keep your stupidity secret. I will not tell anybody about the depth of your ignorance yourself. This one you have told me, I shouldn't repeat it to anybody. I said, because the prophet who told you that has not asked you how you did work. The prophet who mentioned that to you has not asked you how much lies you tell. The prophet who told you that, you see, let me go down to his street. I have never, ever, listen, seen an honest person, either businessman in life, whatever it is that he's doing, that can point to a witch or something and say, this is the reason why I'm not doing well. I have seen many people, that is, once you come close to them, you will know that this one does not need a witch to destroy him. He's destroying himself every day. I have some people tell me that, hey, you know, they said that it's my mother that says that we must be part of the Ogbanje cult, otherwise our lives will be a mess. And there are things Christians should never utter. I would be ashamed to tell you that. That you know why I pour like this? You know why my head not correct like this? It is because last time I went home, they said in our village that I'm actually in the lineage of priests. And since I've become a Christian, they are now all fighting me. Don't worry, I will soon overcome. God, if I say it, put me out of ministry. There are things you should never say. Your God is either dead or he's alive. Haba! They can fight you. You said you are serving a bigger and greater God. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in all their worship and their village and all their shrines. And you are telling me the cause of your problems is because you abandoned the iniquitous, idolatrous religion of the fathers. And God can't defend you. You must be stupid. You know, you come close to people like that. You see the sin in their lives. You will start laughing. Now even the Ogbanje colony don't want you. They don't want you. They rejected you. That's why you are pretending to be a Christian. Listen, I make bold to declare anybody, any Christian, their cult people, witches, whatever name they go by, successfully assail against is walking personally out of the will of God.